Hoe geef je richting aan verandering? Hoe maak je impact met visie, leiderschap en innovatie? Je hoort het op het podcastkanaal New Business Radio. Listen today, lead tomorrow. Hier vind je al onze programma's voor business shapers. Met gesprekken met leiders, ondernemers en vernieuwers die hun organisatie klaarmaken voor de volgende sprong. Check je favoriete podcastplatform en abonneer je op New Business Radio. Listen today, lead tomorrow. Hoe ontketen je de kracht van mensen in organisaties? PeoplePower brengt je de laatste wetenschappelijke inzichten en praktijkvoorbeelden. Over leiderschap en leren, betrokkenheid en bevlogenheid, inzetbaarheid en inclusie. Omdat mensen het verschil maken in jouw organisatie. PeoplePower met Glenn van der Burg.
Onboarding new employees isn't just about teaching them tasks. It's about building a sense of connection. Feeling part of a team is a crucial part of a successful start and a long-term engagement. Yet many organizations stumble when trying to foster this connection during the onboarding process. In this episode of People Power, we explore how to make onboarding truly effective by focusing on connection, one of the six C's, by the way. What are common pitfalls you should avoid and what are best practices to help employees build strong relations with their colleagues? Our guests today are Dr. Talia Bauer. She's a Marilyn and Jerry Cameron Endowed Chair Professor of Management at the Portland State University, and Wietske van Hees, Managing Director at Epicol. We're recording this podcast at Onboard Amsterdam. It's the largest onboarding event in Europe, so you'll probably hear some noise in the background of people having great conversations and sharing great ideas about onboarding. Talia and Wietske, great to have you here. Talia, you are the founder of the six C's, which are first were four C's, and there probably was then a fifth one, and now there's a sixth one. We are mainly going to talk about one of these C's, being connection. Why is connection so important?
Yeah, connection is just a human need. We all have a need to belong. So it's just natural that onboarding would be part of that, that we would need to meet that need within organizations. People are feeling really vulnerable when they join organizations. They're new. It's like being the first day of school, and you're the new kid. So it's something that really matters. And that's always been a gut feeling. That's always been what I've heard from people. It's always been what I've suspected. But we were able to empirically show that. Hundreds and hundreds of articles and research done, finding that connection is actually the most powerful of the six C's. So the empirics behind this whole day of conference focused on connection is very empirically based.
And why is it then that if we all feel that it's important, and now it's even supported by academic studies, why is it that still it's hard to organize within an onboarding process?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I think a lot of it is because as humans, we don't like to be uncomfortable. So the last time you were really feeling out of sorts, feeling like you didn't belong, you don't spend a lot of time relishing thinking about that. That's something you kind of get through and forget. You know, so for most of us, we've been at our jobs. We're not new anymore. And so it's very hard to remember that.
Also a human trait that the things that we don't really like, we tend to forget it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And everyone who's going through an onboarding is going through an uncomfortable process. And we all want to be done as quickly as possible. And the great thing about onboarding is we can help facilitate that a great deal.
Yeah. Let's go into the studies that you have done. In getting the scientific evidence why connections is so important. How do you research that?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've done a lot of individual studies myself and case studies within organizations. But what we did to find out what mattered the most was something called the meta-analysis. So going to the literature, reading every single article that was out there, we came up with 256, I think, that met our search criteria. And then you do the math. You start doing the work of coding each effect size, variable A to B. You add all of those together across all those studies. And you see which one has the biggest impact on the outcomes we care about.
Oh, wow. So 256 studies, and we know how large those studies are and how many pages you have to read then and analyze. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wietske, from the Epicol perspective, you also work with these six C's. Why do you think this connection C is so important?
In itself, I couldn't agree more, of course, with what Talia is stating. And that is not from a commercial perspective, but it's really evidence-based. So that was the whole reasoning to also begin in the first place while implementing Epical at new organizations to have those six C's embedded in our implementation approach. And we really see that it's, on the one hand, gives us a structure, but on the other hand, also brings real value, that it's not only about bringing the software, but also to make sure that our customers start thinking about these topics like connection and how to have the online versus offline activities in the best way organized when it comes to connecting before your first working day. And that's mostly online, so that's already connection that you give the opportunity to chat with your new manager, to get to know your new teammates or your buddy. So that's where the digital connection starts. And then after the first working day, it's super important to design a journey where you have a lot of contact moments and structure that. And we strongly believe that we can help with structuring these connection moments as it's so important to not forget that. And not only, as we also heard this morning, do it when something is wrong or something needs attention, but do it strictly for every new employee at certain moments, have these different connection moments in place. That's where we see that organizations really get the value of a strong onboarding process, and that's where we step in.
Yeah, because onboarding is not the only thing organizations do. They normally tend to have the ongoing business, new strategy, working with customers, etc., etc. Talia, you just told us you did a meta-analysis of these 256 studies, which I cannot imagine how big the pile of paper probably should be if you all stack them all together. I don't know if you're already on the moon, but I think you're close, probably. What did you see looking through all these studies? What are the main moments, the main points in which connection is so important?
Yeah, so the research doesn't get at all of the examples of the specifics in terms of what's going on. So that's the downside about a meta-analysis. It's a lot less of the details. But what I hear over and over again from individuals is there are things that they like that help with creation and connection, creating those connections. So buddies are incredibly powerful. That's one. Hiring managers, you can't overestimate how powerful their time and attention is, especially in the first days and weeks. People really like to, though, also hear from people who've just gone through onboarding versus very established people. You know, you want to hear from the CEO, that's great, but the CEO has succeeded. I'm new. I don't know if I'm going to make it here. But if I talk to someone who did this 6 months or a year ago, that's a lot more aspirational for me. And so that helps.
Yeah. And I can imagine the role of the hiring manager, because maybe even the choice to join an organization is also based on the fact that you just like your hiring manager, or you think she or he is inspirational. And if you don't have any contact with her or him, then you have a problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're talking about connection as if we all together, and especially the listener, know what it is. But we don't.
Yeah.
We use it all the time. But what is it?
Yeah, the way I think of it or define it in an onboarding context is that an individual feels that they belong to the group, they feel safe, they feel trust, and they feel like they're listened to. So it's pretty actionable when you think about it in those ways, kind of how
but also
we help.
Big things.
Big things, yeah.
Yeah.
And across the world, the globe, we're actually experiencing a loneliness epidemic. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we see from research over and over again is that work is an antidote to loneliness. But even then, there's ways we can make people feel more embedded or connected.
Okay, so in a way you're saying with a good onboarding process in which you focus on connection, we can help a bit with that pandemic of loneliness in the world.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big thing.
I think so. It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, pretty powerful. And of course, by now, our listeners are thinking, now we know connection is important. How do we do it? How do we do it? Because, especially Dutch people, they're really action-minded. We just want to do stuff. So let's see if you guys can help us. Wietske.
Yeah, and I think I can really tap into the fact that it begins with actually orchestrating it. So not thinking of, okay, it is there, so depend on manager or buddies or colleagues, but from HR perspective, orchestrate it, make sure that you have the ideal connection points in place. And it can be very simple, like, indeed, schedule the one-on-ones, schedule also the first month meeting after your first month. And we ourselves do also at Epical, after the first month, we do have a lunch with the manager and the new onboardee to celebrate the first 30 days, to look back, to evaluate. And it's just an example. We also set a meeting at 100 days to just mark that point and to look one another in the eyes and see, okay, how are we doing?
So it's also, these things also sound a bit like rituals that you just,
exactly.
You just do them because you well, it's something that you have organized together and said, well, we think this is important, so we're going to do the 100 days.
Yeah.
I mean, you could also do it on the 101st day. It will probably also be okay. But after 100 days, well, it feels like a nice number. Yeah.
Exactly. And also where the power comes in is that it's super important to tell your organization what you expect from everyone. What is the role of the manager? What is the role of the buddy? What is the role of the peers when it comes to these moments? And that is where you need to keep focus on, that these kind of meetings and connection moments take place, and that you steer on that, and that you make sure that everyone feels responsible for doing that, because it's a real risk of telling your organization, okay, this is how we want that you treat your new onboardees, but if you let it go, then one of the managers maybe picks it up and really loves to talk to the people and is really connecting, but other managers are maybe too busy with their business or things that are happening on the work floor and forget it. So you really have to steer on it, that it takes place.
Yeah. And does it also ask from the organization to be specific about it? So don't, because if you would tell a manager the onboarding phase is important, so make sure you talk to your new hire regularly, then somebody will think, oh, that's like once a month, and the other one will probably think, well, that's every day.
Yeah.
And you have to help, probably.
Yeah, exactly. And that's also educating your organization. And that's also what we do a lot, educating about the importance of onboarding and emphasize what it could bring or what you could prevent. And we see a lot of retention risk, for example, at a lot of customers in the first year. So making sure that everyone is aware of the different HR practices, and onboarding is an important one in there, where you can really influence that.
Yeah.
And that awareness, that is not in every company yet there. So there's a lot still to do.
I can also imagine that the onboarding manager, or people that are working on the onboarding, they're working on it every day. So they're, in their mind, it's super important. But in a manager's mind, I mean, he has or she has probably 1,000 things to do and 1,000 KPIs and all the stuff that she or he has to work with. So you should probably help a bit with that.
Exactly. That's where you need to guide it and organize it for them to make sure that they don't forget to do it.
Yeah. Talia, can you tell us a bit about how, I mean, we're talking about connection. We can all feel what it is. I mean, if you're in a lucky position that you have a loved one at home, you can imagine something about being connected to that person. What are things that can create a connection?
Yeah, I mean, just spending time together as humans, we tend to do that. And so facilitating that, making sure that people are having meals together, taking breaks together, those are things that are really simple. But, you know, showing up for the first day of work and no one takes you out to lunch and you don't know what to do, where to go, that's a very lonely and unconnected feeling, right? So by people kind of inviting you, including you, it makes a big difference.
I can even imagine that before your first work day, you're thinking about, should I, especially in the Netherlands, should I bring something, my sandwiches, or do people eat behind their desk, or do we go out, or is there a cafeteria, or do we go with everybody of the department that we're working together, or how does that, can be super uncomfortable for somebody if they start, and especially if nothing is arranged.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of uncomfortable potential situations that can be avoided by, you know, as you mentioned, really thinking through the process and letting people know you're invited to lunch. You know, don't worry about it. We have you covered first day. And, you know, again, it makes people feel very welcomed.
It even sounds that it's either or. So you're either working on connection or you're working on the opposite.
Yeah.
On deconnecting, is that the word?
Yeah. And the way I think about it is a lack of empathy. It's very easy, again, going back to what we talked about earlier, to forget about how uncomfortable it is to be new and just assume, well, people make it through. And of course, people have always made it through onboarding or not.
Yeah.
So in the past, it was very sink or swim, hit or miss. So we'd see some people succeed and say, oh, we must have great onboarding, and forget about those we left behind. So
yeah.
I think part of this connection is trying to raise all the water level so that all the boats rise, so everyone has an opportunity to connect, not just the people where it comes naturally.
Yeah, and I can also imagine that within colleagues, some of them are very social. They're the social hub of the department. They talk to everybody. They get the coffee. They take people out for lunch. But if there's not a lot of those kinds of people within your department where you start working, then you have a problem.
Yeah. So that's where thinking through the different roles and people being assigned to engage in those roles can be really helpful. And people, you point out, have different appetites for how much interaction is enough interaction. Somebody might feel connected going out with somebody once a week. Someone else, it's once a month. Someone else, it needs to be every day.
Yeah. So how do you know in advance?
Yeah. One of my big points about onboarding is to really think about the newcomer as somebody who has input into the process as well. So you want to be planful. You want to have, a onboarding plan written down. But you also want to be flexible and find out what people need, because people are individuals. And the more you recognize that, the more excited they are to be part of your organization.
Yeah. So ask them in advance, how many touch points would you like? How many times would you like to have a conversation or talk about? Are you fine just being on your own and working?
I think what I see organizations do is create a minimum, right? So that's a baseline. And then if people want to do more, they opt in, but not forcing everybody to be on every minute.
Yeah. You talked about these lunch, for example, being together, having conversations together, having lunch together. That's something that can create a connection. What you also hear is that there, most of the times, really creative stuff is thought about in an onboarding process, like events or something that you do together, like skydiving or bungee jumping or karting or, well, yeah. What do you think about those things? Is that a good thing, or maybe even a great thing, or are you saying, well, better make sure that you lunch together?
I think the dining together, the research over time has been clear that that is something that helps build bonds. But there's also a team building component to what you're talking about. I've seen organizations do volunteer activities together. So then you have kind of that higher purpose and a cause, as well as the team building. Mm-hmm. And that's usually something that's pretty positively seen.
Yeah, yeah. But it has to match the organization, I can imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're working at Shell, which is a great company, of course, but if you do something in the environment, probably you will be thinking, nah, not a really good fit.
Yeah, you need to have a match. I think that's super important.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe I can add something else to the topic before. What we also see in the HR strategies from our customers, that personalization is a strong focus area to make sure that the journeys in HR, so also the onboarding journey, are more personalized. And that is also what I really like, Talia, about what you were saying, is that it's also about asking your employee, what is it what you need on top of what we provide for everyone? So that personalization is also, of course, fitting this time frame in many ways, also with technology, but in itself, thinking about what is the specific need of your onboardee, that is really powerful. And that is also what I really like, that it's that you can work in that way with your new onboardee. And also to give you an example how to keep track on that, especially in organizations where they onboard a lot of people. We see organizations also using specific survey moments in the new hire phases. Really short surveys with only one or two questions and just about how are you doing? Yeah. How do you feel?
Yeah.
How engaged are you still after 1 week, 30 days, 60 days? Also, from HR perspective and from management perspective, you keep track on your new hires and you can sort of easily see, okay, with this new hire or within this team, we have something to do because she or he is not happy or doesn't feel safe or welcomed yet. So with the help of these simple, smart evaluation moments, you are also able to improve your process along the way and to go into that personal touch. And I really do like that with the help of technology that you can go into that personal conversation and maybe ask someone to open up what's happening and how we can help.
Yeah.
So I think that's super important to find a way to keep track on the big bunch of new employees and make sure that they all feel welcome.
Yeah, and it sounds like finding a combination between the personal connection between the hiring manager and, of course, the new hire, mm-hmm. but also keeping track from HR about, okay, so how is everybody doing?
Yeah. I think that's the teamwork.
Yeah.
Makes the dream work. But yeah.
Wow.
That is a challenge though, because HR often feels like, okay, we designed the journey, we recruited the new candidate, and then once they start, then we let it go and we don't have any clue if it's going to be successful and if we succeed in making sure this employee stays in. And there are many smart ways to keep track on that also from HR perspective.
Talia, what are common mistakes that you see within organizations that want to build this connection during the onboarding phase?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest one is the lack of focus on it. It's the thing that probably gets the least amount of attention overall. I'm starting to see more and more people discussing it and building it into the programs, but it's been the slowest probably of all of them. Another thing would be when you're thinking about connection, of just underestimating the time that it takes to be planful in advance to create natural connections, right? You're trying to set the stage or kind of plant seeds, but it's not
something. It almost sounds something that's not possible. You're planning a natural connection, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you want, and you don't know which one of them is going to take, and so having as many as possible, I think, is pretty important for organizations to think about.
Yeah, and is it also then just a bit of trial and error? Trying things out, what does work, what doesn't work?
Absolutely. I've experimented a lot within organizations. Organizations do a lot of experiments. And, you know, you learn something, even if it doesn't work out, about what does and doesn't work. And also, I think to the earlier point about the check back. So those pulse surveys can be very powerful. You know, people go through, you said, the teamwork activity. Is it working or not? Well, I don't know the answer in that organization, but they do. So asking people, not over-surveying, but, you know, getting some key feedback along the way.
Yeah. And Vitke, is it also maybe my experience within HR, and, well, I think now we're making the 580th People Power episode, so I've talked to some people in my 10 years that I'm doing this. HR people tend to follow hypes. Mm-hmm. Oh, this works in company X. Let's do that. Listening to you, I think, well, it really depends on what kind of organization you are, what kind of people you are entering, and even the people itself differ. So how do you combine maybe best practices that there are, software platforms, apps like yours, in combination with the fact that you don't really know what's going to work and what is going to work?
Yeah, good question. From software perspective, we do see that it's super important that customers are able to tailor it. So to have a super flexible approach of what you want to offer. And indeed, for certain companies, it works to offer a lot of content, to offer a lot of insights. And for other companies, it's maybe more easy that they need different content or more videos or a more interactive approach. Also depends on the type of workers within the company. So I think from software perspective, we have best practices, but we have best practice within verticals, within industries, because it's not a one size fits all at all. And if you are able to do draw your ideal journey, then you need to have software in place which you can tailor to yeah. the needs of your organization. And also what is important, that with the help of data, like engagement, retention, but also the surveys within the first new hire period, that you can also learn of what works and what doesn't work. So to improve your journey based on the data you track in different areas to see what worked. And that's also especially what I like about onboarding here at Onboard Amsterdam event, is that people really like to learn from one another. From, okay, how does company A do it? Okay, maybe that is also something for us. And that is also, you called it hype. I would say HR people really love to try, to test, and to step into something new, what they heard from other companies, and to see if that works. So, yeah, I love that.
All right. Talia, can you help us with maybe practices that do work almost everywhere? What are they?
I would say, we've talked about it, we touched on the hiring, having the hiring manager involved.
Yeah.
The companies who I've seen be really successful in going deep in this kind of carve out time and make KPIs specifically around that and evaluate managers. They also train managers, so it's not just throwing one more thing on their assignment pile, but really valuing it. Buddy programs are incredibly powerful. They kind of help with everything. They help with job satisfaction, lower turnover, better performance. And so having buddies, and we talked about customizing. So maybe in one organization, a buddy is one person who's relatively new. Maybe some people have a team of buddies. Maybe you have rotating buddies. So there's lots of ways to do it. But really setting that up, that's something that's pretty tried and true and we know really helps.
Yeah.
And just having an onboarding plan, I mean, it's so basic, and people at this conference are beyond that, maybe. But for a lot of companies out there, they don't really have a formal onboarding plan. They don't have it all figured out. And if they did, they've drifted away from it. So those are some of the things I see when people say, well, things aren't working. Well, what is your plan? Well, we don't really ever really look at that. We just kind of let it evolve.
Yeah. To finish off, one last question. What example of a great way to establish new connections have you seen within a organization? So what is the most fun, crazy, spectacular way that organizations have done it? And I know we have somebody from the US on the table, so I can be very outspoken about it. If in Holland you say, well, spectacular, then everybody's, well, spectacular, no. But I mean, you're from the US. We can use spectacular.
Humans love competition. So if you can create healthy competition around performance issues within a team, across newcomers, that's a way to get people very engaged. Even the most introverted people will kind of step out of their shell if there's a competition to be had.
So what have you seen then? Using games or?
Games, scavenger hunts. Really, you just add a gamification, competition. People really thrive on that.
Because I can imagine that you think, well, to put two people from the same organization head to head, I mean, they have to work together. So,
yeah, healthy competition. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. All right, that's a good addition. Wietke, what's the most fun, crazy one that you have seen?
Yeah, it's maybe the most fun examples I've seen is that organizations, and that tend to be a bit the bigger organizations, are really investing in the first days with all the new hires together, and they go really all the way to make it really like a festival for having all the new onboardees together, and make in many ways connections during the day across teams, and find also their hobbies, their interests, and make sure that people talk to one another. But also on that same day, have a band, have all kind of games in place, so that people are after that first or second day feel really excited. So yeah, it tends to be also a bit like, okay, this can't be, you know, that good afterwards.
Yeah, this can't be the my normal work.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also, if you create that these kind of amazing days, that people will always remember that as, oh, that was my, when did you start? Oh yeah, we were also there. We met then, and it's can be a great start of the journey. But I have to say, it also need to match the company. So it can't work in every company.
No, I can't imagine. But then,
there was one other thing you mentioned earlier about rituals. I think rituals, you know, so I'm new now, but 10 years from now, there's that same ritual that everyone went through, I think can be a way to really send a signal.
Yeah. Yeah, we know that from, of course, the military and from fraternities, and they all use it and they don't use it because they just like it. It just works.
It works.
Yeah. It was great talking to you. Thank you very much, Dr. Talia Bauer from Portland State University and Wietke van Hees from Epicle. And thank you, of course, for listening to this podcast. There are 5 more of this one, if this is the first that you're listening to, because we're making 6 podcasts here on Onboard Amsterdam. So make sure you listen to them all. And thanks for that. See you and hear you in the next one.
Meer afleveringen vind je op peoplepower.radio en jouw favoriete podcast-app.